Alrighty. So, go and recording. Okay. Zach, you're recording.
Yep.
Sweet. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Nightmares Podcast, where we talk about all things horror, movies, music, television shows, and in this case, national holidays. The which I'm very, very excited. I, of course, have my partner in crime, Mr. Zachary Smith here.
Yep.
He's rocking Zoom. And then today we have Mr. Steve Cheney, who just disappeared from the Steve, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Really appreciate it, man.
Hey, Mark, thank you for having me. I know it's been quite a journey for us to get connected on
So we're going to kick this off right away. So we always begin every podcast with a very, very famous question. And I actually see no difference that we shouldn't do it here, which is, when did horror enter your life? When did it become a big deal for you?
Horror has always been a huge, huge part of my life. I have a huge passion for it. Probably a bigger passion than your ordinary person, I guess you can say. I know that's kind of an unfair term to use, but
Well, none of us are
if I
normal
had to
here.
rate myself, if I had to rate myself on like my love for Halloween and love for horror, it would have like on a scale. I would be over the top on the scale. I mean, I'm that into, the whole Halloween horror genre of stuff. It's just, it's a part of me. Without it, I wouldn't be a happy person.
I know Zach will definitely concur with that. We're all you're in good company. I'll leave it at that. Zach's been watching horror movies since he was two,
Oh
so
yeah.
so he's been rocking and rolling with that. So I'm curious.
I'm kind of black sheep of the family when it comes to that, because I have an uncle that actually did he did oh actually my grandfather did a lot of genealogy work, and I mean, we have these huge thick volumes of books where we've looked at our family's background and everything like that, and it kind of makes sense. And this is not something that I tell very many people, but I think it would be appropriate for this. In the genealogy research that we did, we actually found a distant relative connection to, can you guess who?
Vlad the Impaler.
No, sir. Lon Chaney, the original Phantom of the Opera.
No kidding. That is fantastic.
So that'll kind of give you some perspective. I mean, he was a man of 100 faces. So that will give you the perspective. I have a lot of, it gives you some perspective on why I have, why I'm so enthusiastic about this. I mean, it's in my blood, literally.
Which is fantastic. We have a dear friend, Lon, who's named after Lon Chaney as well.
That's awesome.
Which is always cool. So what were some of your earliest influences within horror? When did it really kick off for, any specific examples?
Well, again, it would definitely be, all of the work that that Lon Chaney did. That was just, I mean, him and his son, the Wolfman. That would be kind of like, all the old dark, silent horror films, like Nosferatu, a lot of the Phantom of the Opera work, Wolfman work, Swamp Thing, things like that.
Nice.
So,
I hear you.
I was growing up. I mean, I'm a I believe it's Gen Z, I believe is what I fall under. But I was raised, growing up when a lot of, when the horror genre was really starting to pick up.
Nice. I love that. And obviously too is Halloween is kind of come in and out of vogue, and I mean I love talking about the history of Halloween and how it kind of went away. I mean, I remember having a conversation with my dad about this, and he was telling me growing up in these the late 60s, early 70s, it was actually on the way out. It was no longer in vogue because actually it had a lot to do with the rumors about the razor blades and the apples and the razor blades and the candy and the poison. And, you know, and also too is, you know, he grew up in Chicago and, you know, things were getting, you know, very dark in the late 60s and 70s. So, you know, yep. It was, and also too is it was always a kid holiday in, for the longest time, probably from the 1940s to the 90s. And it wasn't until those people that were kids in the 70s became parents in the 90s and got to re-experience it with their kids, it became a resurgence. So I'm very curious, you know, what was your fascination? I mean, fascination is probably the wrong word because it's easy to figure out what the fascination was with horror. But, you know, what were some of your earliest memories with Halloween and why has it become so important for you?
I was actually drawn, you know, to the darker side of, you know, of Halloween. I liked all the monsters and the witches and the, you know, all the different, you know, monsters that were real, you know, the real classic, you know, Halloween characters that, you know, that were common during that time period. And some of my fondest memories that I have is of my dad who's passed away a few years ago. Him and I used to go to haunted houses as a little one. And I remember a haunted house in Ohio that we went to, and we got stuck in a haunted house. We ended up in a dead end and we couldn't figure out how to get out of it. So it took us a little bit to get turned around and get out of that. And that is probably one of the biggest memories that stick into my head. And also, you know, going out and trick or treating and things like that.
Nice, nice. And then, you know, and I didn't catch this at the beginning. Are you from, so you're from the Ohio area or are you?
Yes, that's where I'm originally from. Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Cause I know that one of our last guests, you know, was talking about how, and I had no idea that this was the case. I probably should up my knowledge of haunts and things of that nature, that Ohio is actually the capital of haunted houses. It has one of the biggest, you know, per capita haunted houses around. There's more in Ohio than there are anywhere else in the country. So it must have been influential, to say the least, to be around, you know, all those haunted houses. I mean, October is a fucking gold mine for anybody in Ohio. So I'm curious if that had an influence on, you know, what was going on in your little head as a kid.
Oh yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, it was just so much, I mean, it was just so much fun to me. I mean, it was just, I just felt a real, you know, a real connection to it. And, I look at, you know, from, you know, growing up to now, just, it amazes me, you know, how much Halloween has evolved over the years. It was a fun thing, you know, back, you know, in my era, you know, when I was growing up and everything like that. But now it's literally, I mean, it's an industry now. I mean, it's not just a holiday business. I mean, we're seeing an increase in haunts that are not only doing events on Halloween, but they're doing them throughout the year. Like they'll do a St. Patrick's Day event or like Dark Hour here in Plano, Texas, a perfect example of that. They're one of the pioneers of this area here in Texas for the haunts, but they have events throughout the year. They have a Valentine's Day event. They have a St. Patrick's Day event. They have a summer event. So we're starting to see, you know, in the haunt industry that people like myself that are Halloween fanatics are able to get the Halloween fix throughout the year, not just in Halloween and in the fall.
Which is always really, really fun. I mean, I think I read an article a couple of years ago. Now, it may be like in 2020 or 2021, even during the pandemic, that I think it was done, a report that was done by the U.S. Commerce or the U.S. Treasury Department, that figured out that Americans on a retail basis or just a general basis spend about $10 billion on Halloween. Second most profitable holiday, you know, next to Christmas, which is, I think, at $25 billion. But obviously, you know, we're not the only ones. The numbers are in, man. So the numbers are in that Americans love fucking Halloween. Because we wouldn't spend, you know what? If there's ever anything about America and something so true to America is if we spend our money towards something, we fucking love it. There's no doubt about it. If we're throwing buckets and buckets of cash at something, it's got to be fucking awesome. And we do that as a recreational tool. So you know, we're in good company as a whole. So, I mean, America has been captured by Halloween in the last 30 years when it comes to just dollar spending.
So, and here's an interesting part about that, you know, that's mentioned that is, you know, when COVID started back in 2019, 172 million Americans celebrated Halloween, even during the COVID times. And 17% of them brought costumes for their pets, with the top choices being like pumpkin, hot dogs, you know, bumblebees. And Americans spent an estimated $8.8 billion, or basically $86.27 per person in 2019. And that was at the start of COVID.
Yeah, and I know that number went up to $10 billion by the time we were, you know, reached to 2021. I remember seeing the same article that you're talking. I think we're talking about the same article. So it's always fair. What about you, Zach? You think you dressed up a snake and the other cat?
I will not dress up my cats because they will fucking hate me.
And they already hate you.
As tempting as it is, I will not do that to them.
Yeah. Come on, Zach. Dressing up pets is not about the pets. It's always about the owners and how they can take pictures of it. Let's be honest. That's exactly what it is. And my fiance, soon to be my wife, will absolutely, because we're getting dogs. It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. And I know for a fact every fucking Halloween I'm gonna see that dog in some costume. And if she had her way, we'd be a fucking matching set. That's where I draw the line. That's my last line of defense. That's this line, but no further. which is great. And Zach, what was one of your earliest memories with haunted houses? I was just thinking about that. But I think it's relevant to this conversation.
I know I did one for my school. It was a Catholic school, funny enough, so it wasn't all that great. I just remember the biggest thing was it was dark and there was neon lights, and that's all I really remember. Other than that, I didn't do too many haunted houses growing up, mainly because I was just lazy. It didn't feel like... Because, like, all the good ones were in the burbs, and I had no way to get out there, especially during, like, Halloween season. So I just mainly just hung out with friends, watched movies, and shit like that.
Yeah, I dragged him in which is always great. And actually, funny enough, quick fact, the popularity of haunted houses actually was started by the Catholic Church as in an effort to get in more youth inside of the church. They started doing haunted houses. That's why Catholics, by and large, are pretty fucking cool with Halloween. It's only the really, really hardcore evangelical Christians that are not cool with Halloween. Catholics are pretty cool with it, but because they had a huge hand in it. So it's really, there's only so far you can take the hypocrisy before somebody calls bullshit. I know that you mentioned that you were dragged in. You know, what were some of the other early memories of haunted houses for you, Steve?
Like I said, that one story I told you earlier about, getting trapped in that, yep. You know, in that one room. And it was, it was a room that had all kinds of, it was black and white stripes, and the whole entire room was like, it was very, very disorienting. But again, when I look at, you know, the basic haunted house growing up, and, you know, the basic, you know, universally recognized monsters, you know, in the house, you know, your vampires, your wolves, your not so much zombies, but, you know, other creatures of the night, if you will. And just seeing, you know, these haunts evolving, you know, from the time when I was growing up to now is just incredible. Where, you know, with the special effects, you know, amping up the special effects. Again, one of my favorite haunts is Dark Hour here in Plano, Texas. And I don't know if you've ever been there, but they set a really high bar in haunted attractions with their special effects, and it's an immersive experience that you go into. I mean, you literally, when you go through there, I mean, back in the day growing up, you know, you went from room to room. There wasn't that much of a thematic element, okay? You know, it was darkly lit, you know, the typical strobes, you know, the dark lights, flashing lights, you know, loud noises, you know, things like that. But now, I mean, nowadays, I mean, you have, you know, everything from lasers to snow even, and, you know, just all the special effects and animatronics. And, you know, you see actors that are really, amping up, you know, their acting. I mean, to where, you know, you really feel like, you know, you're actually going through an actual horror experience, your own personal horror movie, instead of just like, you know, just, you know, having fun, you know, and just, you know, you have somebody jump out from behind a corner, you know, jump out behind a door, you know, or things like that.
Well, I'm definitely curious from both of you. This just inspired a question of mine, which is, what do you think happened with haunted houses in the last 15 years, 20 years that has just elevated it to a next level? I mean, what, you know, what was the trigger about why? I have a theory, but, you know, but I'm curious to hear from both of you, why in the last 20 years has it, you know, because for the most part, everybody knew Halloween Horror Nights, that was the premier place, and everybody knew Fright Fest, and the, you know, everybody knew, you know, very specific haunted houses. Busch Gardens did their thing. The, you had the Staples in Illinois, but it seemed in the last 20 years that there was just an explosion of them. They just popped up everywhere and became even more technologically advanced, and more money is being thrown at it. So I'm curious, you know, we'll go to Stephen and Zach about what happened in the last 20 years. What was up?
Well, I mean, over the last 20 years, you can see that the times that we live in right now are becoming very dark. You know, it seems like, you know, things are getting darker. It's like reality is becoming, you know, almost like a real life horror movie. I mean, it's that everybody's being cast into, and everybody's playing a part in, and so people are embracing that darkness. You know, they're accepting that darkness. They're accepting, you know, these dark times, and they're basically evolving and trying to, you know, to work with it. And I think COVID, you know, that period when COVID started, when, you know, everybody was shut down, I think that gave a lot of haunted attraction owners a lot of time to reevaluate things, because, you know, there's one, you know, there's 2 or 3 years that, you know, some haunts weren't able to operate at all. So when you look at all the work that goes into creating a haunted attraction, you basically have your period of haunt season starts typically in September, and, you know, it'll run till the 1st of November. So once that season is over, it's literally balls to the wall for those haunt operators, because they have to immediately, within, you know, 2 to 3 months, like as soon as Christmas is over, they got to start, you know, working on, you know, developing their haunted attractions. And so they basically have from January to typically July, August to get everything done, right? So when haunts weren't able to be open, I think that gave haunt owners an opportunity, because they had an extended period of time to really reevaluate what they were doing and come up with a bigger and better plan. Because with the development of evolvement of extreme haunts, which I know you all are familiar with extreme haunts.
Oh, yeah.
The immersive acting experiences, there are more immersive haunt experiences that are popping up every day. Blackout was one of the big pioneers of that. And these haunt owners are seeing the great success of these extreme haunts and how people flock to those haunts in droves, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of makes, if you're a haunted attraction owner, you have to really up the ante, because you're seeing all of these extreme immersive haunts happening and you see the great success and you want to tap into that. So how do you tap into that? And that's why I think we're seeing why things are, you know, evolving to such a high level and such to such a high standard, you know, in the haunt industry now. Another example of that, Six Flags Over Texas this year started a scream break that they ran this last week, first time that they were doing it. And it was decent, but it was their first time. Halloween Horror Nights last year was my very first time going to Halloween Horror Nights. And I was blown away by what I saw at Halloween Horror Nights with all those houses, man. And it really, in my mind, created a really high bar and a very high expectation for me when it comes to going to haunted attractions and also having been a former haunt actor. So I've integrated all of that into my mind, and I'm always looking for the next big thing. And that's why we're seeing haunts doing what they're doing. It's because they have to rise to that level and, you know, go to the next big thing. There's the sky's the limit now. Whereas growing up, it really was kind of limited in what you could do, you know, because it was kind of a new thing. And growing up, the focus on Halloween was, you know, pretty much with the haunted houses was to have fun, you know, have a little scare here and there. But as the years have progressed, it's no longer a matter. It's no longer a matter of just having fun. Now people actually want to be scared. People want to be surprised. People want to be shocked. And that's the level that haunt owners have to, you know, completely rise up to and take those steps, you know, to give us people what they want. You know, they want to be scared and they're always looking for, you know, the next big thing, the next great shock and the next great scare.
Sure. No, absolutely. And obviously I have a huge, well, not obviously because you don't know this. I have a pretty long history with Halloween Horror Nights. I've been going there since 2009. So, you know, we'll definitely talk about last year's event because Zach and I were both there. But Zach, you know, what's your theory and what's your take on that?
I mean, he pretty much nailed everything on the head with that. I come at it from a more casual experience because, like I said, I've only been doing haunted houses over the past, like, maybe 5 or so years, essentially since 2019. And before that, I only went to, like, a handful. But compared to when I was a kid, the quality of the haunted houses has gone up extremely. Like, the first big one that I went to as an adult was Hell's Gate and something prison. It's a big one here in Illinois.
Statesville.
Yeah, huge one in Illinois. And the level of quality that haunted house provides was just mind-blowing, out of this world. Like, the cool visuals, all the actors, like, and it's Luther. Fucking big, too. I'll get to Luther. it's big. Like, it took us, at least for Statesville, it took us a good maybe 15 to 20 minutes to navigate that full haunted house. And for the most part, every other haunted house that I've tried, it's usually maybe like a 5-10 minute walk through the building. Which, I mean, is cool and all, but because Statesville was my first one and so was Hell's Gate, it set the bar really high for haunted houses. So I'm just like, all right, well, all the rest of these are just kind of meh. Like, we did this one, it has a number in the name. It's like 20-something or... what the hell was that one we went to? Like, not too long after? I forgot what it was. It was so meh. Just very... because there was barely any actors in it. The set design was okay. And it just... I don't know. It was disappointing, essentially. But Statesville and Hell's Gate, just this big amalgamation of awesome shit happening all around you. And it's just like, I fucking love it. But that bar is set so high that a lot of people are going to have to go through hell and high water just to compare to it.
Do not skip on Luther.
Okay. All right. So one of the guys we ran into at this place was... So Hell's Gate, you essentially have to walk through this haunted forest, which already, it's an outdoor haunted house. That's amazing in my mind. An outdoor haunted house, really freaking cool. And you're walking up to this giant gate, and there's this big burly dude with a hammer out there. It's just like, he tells us, ask me my name. And we look at each other, all right, what's your name? And he slams his hammer on the floor, screams Luther, and fire just spreads out all behind him. And we're just like, all right, well, no one's going to up this guy for the rest of our lives. You are officially the coolest man we've ever met. No one is beating Luther, and no one has since beaten Luther. No, even the replacement Luther was so mad. We're just like, all right, well, this was disappointing.
Yeah, it's literally going back to those memes of like, you think you're metal, but you are not as metal as Luther.
I think a lot of this also is people's sensitivity. Like, people, you know, when you constantly see something and you constantly experience something, you eventually develop a numbness to it. So it takes a lot more. I mean, it's literally, it's like a drug. I mean, I hate to draw that parallel, but you know, a love for Halloween and love for haunts and haunted attractions, it's literally like a drug. I mean, a true Halloween enthusiast, you have to have that fix. And so all these experiences, you're always looking for the next higher and better thing. And you know, your sensitivity evolves, develops. And that's what I think a lot of haunted attraction owners are realizing. It's like, okay, all right, you know, we've been doing this now for, you know, 5 years, and now our attendance is going down. So people are getting numb to this. So we're going to have to make some changes and make it bigger.
Bigger, better, and better. You got to up the ante. Yep. I think for me, in the last 20 years, for the question, I think I could boil it down to three very important things. One is shifting in culture, okay? And then one is CGI, and the other one is authenticity and social media. And what I mean by changing is culture is what happened 22 years ago? You know, and it goes back to what you were talking about being dark. 9/11 happened at the very early side of the 2000s. Before, in the 90s, I think things were relatively optimistic and people were looking forward. And I think that everybody got, America got caught with its pants down on a Tuesday morning and never quite shook it off. And I think that permeated the culture of having a little bit more of a harder edge, you know, the same way that my parents did in the 70s and the 60s when America wasn't doing well in the early 80s. And I think that kind of cynical edge provided a more darker landscape and the ability to want to get into the darker side of life. And it reflected reality. It reflected what was going on. It was very, very much a part of our culture. And I think, and then the strange thing is now, you know, the Gen Zers coming up, and they weren't even born then, or they have no recollection of it. I certainly have a large recollection of that day. But I think it permeated into everything after the fact, of having more of an edge to what we want in our entertainment. I think that there's still, you know, cotton candy out there, but by and large, it's a lot more realistic, a lot more involved, and a lot more, you know, just there's just something there. It's a thing. It's an essence. And, you know, it's kind of like, if you know, you know. If you don't, you don't. But the second thing being CGI. In 2000, the CGI became the dominant force, and it kind of pushed out a lot of the guys that came in from horror from the 80s when practical was king. And I'm hoping it's starting to come back a little bit, which, thank God, because I'm tired of hearing Zach, myself, and my fiance and all of our other friends bitch about shitty CGI and how it's ruining horror and how we need to get back to, like, I'm almost even tired of having this conversation, and I'm the one saying it. So all those guys that came out of the 80s and the 90s, we're essentially out of fucking work. they're out of work. They had nowhere to go. Like they, you know, a lot of those guys are not computer guys. They don't know how to, you know, do things in there. Maybe they can just do on set makeup. Maybe they can go to the theater, but the theater doesn't, you know, unfortunately, you know, I hope we'll change that in the future. Doesn't have a lot of horror within it. So where the fuck are they going to go? Haunted houses.
Yeah, exactly.
Haunted houses is a logical step of where they're going to head. Because that's what's going to keep them, their careers alive, their passions alive, and keep the bills getting paid. So mm-hmm. And that was the influx of money that was coming into there because the quality had bumped up. Very similarly to what happened to children's television in the 90s when they hired better quality writers and Steven Spielberg came in and you had more quality being floated around. And that's just what happens. They shifted away from the movies and went into the into the haunted houses, which bumped up the quality. And then, as you said, you got to keep up in the ante. And a lot of people forget, though, that the greatest part about 80s horror and why it worked so well was because of competition. Those guys were always trying to one-up each other. And they brought all that energy into the haunted house industry. And I'm not talking about the big guys that, you know, everybody knows. And but I'm talking about, you know, the guys that worked underneath the main guys, that didn't have anywhere to go.
Yeah, and absolutely.
And I think lastly, and this is the most important thing, is social media and authenticity. In today's society, social media has been the reigning force of everything. It's permeated our life. You can't run a business. You can't live your life. Can't do much of anything without social media. You know, if you don't have it, you're a fucking hermit. So and I think people would be better off being hermits. But social media is not real. It's bullshit. Most of it, by and large, is absolute bullshit, and it doesn't exist in reality. And I think that people are starving for human connection. And there's been a multitude of different products that have come out of, you know, certain dating sites that you know, want to set people up and they'll have more of an in-person experience. Airbnb has started introducing experiences into their thing of, I know how, like, you know, like, not only can you go and stay at somebody's houses, but you can go and fucking say, like, you want a tour guide. Travel agents for the first time ever are coming back into fucking vogue because, yes, anybody can fucking book a hotel online, but now people want experiences. And then that's a big thing with the millennial generation. I want to experience something. It's like, because your life is fucking empty because of social media. So people are starving for authenticity and people need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy. The still great line from Batman Begins. What's a more dramatic example than in a haunted house? And in some cases, an extreme haunted house. That, you know, it's kind of like it's fucking disturbing. I will say this because it's a fucking disturbing analogy, but it's kind of gotten to this point where it reminds me of the fucking emo kids from the early 2000s that used to say, I cut myself because I want to feel something. These fuckers are so desensitized by social media. They want to just feel anything. But at the same time, they can't handle a real, it was the same reason why people go on roller coasters. They want to experience danger, but not actually be in danger. Mm-hmm. Same story here is they want to experience danger, but they want to be in danger because they would shit themselves. They actually had to deal with something real. This is the closest they can get. They want something extreme and something they can feel and is tangible, but they know in the back of the mind is actually not real. So those are my three explanations about what's going on. And I think the social media thing and wanting to feel something is more important. And that's the real dark side of it and the real fucked up side of it. And maybe we're us being in the horror community are doing good work by bringing people back to feelings and real things, you know, touching the grass and breathing in the air and having a clown with a chainsaw scare the fuck out of you. These are all very good things for your psyche.
Right. And that just kind of ties in with, what I was saying earlier about the desensitization. So, you know, haunted attraction owners are forced with that challenge of trying to overcome that desensitization and you know, create something to help people feel those experiences. Absolutely, 100%. And we're going to be seeing a lot more of that. And, you know, again, and I hate to keep going back to the COVID thing, but I feel that, you know, the COVID was a pendulous event for haunted attraction owners, because they've seen that, you know, their attendance has gone down. So they're like, okay, wow, you know, we had COVID, we had to shut down. And now, what, you know, how are we going to recoup that money? And that's why I think we're starting to see more events, not only just Halloween, but throughout the year, because they're trying to maximize those profits, because they know that they need to do that.
Yeah. And yeah, they no, for sure. Zach, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just agreeing, because I mean, being only able to do something like that one time out of the year is always, I've always wondered how they maintained that, like, especially back before like COVID. And I mean, even from like 2018 below, because I didn't notice the yearly haunted houses start popping up until roughly around 2019, give or take. So yep. I always wonder, like, how the hell do these guys maintain this? Like, do they really make enough money this one time out of the year? And that just kind of, you know, sets them so they could just, I don't know, come back and redo it the next year. Like, I have no idea how that works. It was always a fascinating thing to me, but not a field I really wanted to go down, because I'm like, I have other stuff I want to do right now. But thank God you're doing it. I'm happy someone's doing it.
Somebody's doing the good work.
Don't go down that rabbit hole.
I'm already trying to be a filmmaker. That's enough of a pain in the ass as it is already.
Okay, I'm right there with you, Zach. I'm working on that myself.
Jesus. And then also running a podcast is hard enough. Then running a fucking haunt. But it's the same thing with Christmas stores. The same thing with water parks in northern areas. You have to make enough money to sustain yourself for the rest of the year. All right. So let's get into this, because I got some things to talk about Halloween in general, and I need to have like a little bit of a venting session about some of the new traditions of fucking Halloween that popped up in the last 10 years that have pissed me off to no extent. I'm going to get a little Zach right now, because Zach's the master of ranting, but I think even he'll be like, he'll seethe with this. But, fuck it. I'm just going to talk about it. What the fuck is up with these parents driving their kids in their fucking vans from one house to the other when they trick or treat? And that fucking shit. I watch this shit. You know, like, hold on. If you want to drive your kid to like a separate neighborhood, and like that's, you know, and you go to the richer neighborhood, and that's just good strategy. You want to get those king size candy bars. I get that shit. But to drive them like a fucking mailman from one house to the other, I see this shit. Halloween's a big. All my whole family fights over holidays to host holidays. Nobody fights my father for Halloween, because first of all, a lot of them don't care. But secondly, no one, and Zach can back me up on this, no one would touch my dad when it comes to Halloween. We're the house that gives candy to the kids and beer and wine to the adults and treats to the dogs. So we are the fucking house to be at. And I watch these fucking parents, these helicopter parents, drive their kids from there and like, let your kids out of the fucking car. So they can walk off the candy that they're about to eat. Fuck.
I've only seen that once at your place, funny enough. And I was just mind blown. I'm like, one, that's a waste of gas. Like, do you realize how much gas costs? Like, I don't know, man. That's such a, I don't know. I also like walking, so that it's just, there's just so much, just why? Just why? I don't get it.
Instead of seeing crowds of people walking through the streets, you're seeing a freaking traffic jam in a neighborhood.
I don't get. I'm so glad that you've seen this shit too. Like that, I'm not the only one that this isn't lost on just me watching this stuff happen.
I think it's maybe because I live in the city of Chicago. Because if you were to do that here, so many people would just be mad at you. It's just like, what the hell are you doing, causing traffic and shit like that? Like, people would lose their minds here if you tried pulling that shit. But
funny they do. Like, if you look at, like, all the, like, the John Carpenter's Halloween, perfect example, and any other Halloween movie that features, you know, it's during the Halloween because, you know, people are out trick-or-treating. Do you ever see a horror movie with people in cars driving their kids from house to house. No, he always gets three full of people.
Get out of the car. Go breathe the air and go touch the grass and be outside and enjoy life.
I was going to say, let your kids show off the costume. Have fun. It's a holiday that's meant to be fun. It is the least stressful holiday of the year, unless you're planning a haunted house or going all out decorating your house. Like, that's the only time it's stressful. But for everybody else in the world, it's just, get a costume. You don't even have to go all out. You can get one of the cheap ones if you really want to. It doesn't matter. And just have a good time somewhere. Go out with friends, stay and watch a movie, go take your kids trick-or-treating, go to haunted houses. It's the best and only good holiday of the year. Screw Christmas.
Yeah, I know. Anyway.
See, we all feel that way because, we're huge Halloween enthusiasts. But, actually, Zach, I say Halloween is actually very stressful. And that kind of ties in with why I'm trying to get this Halloween petition passed.
Please explain.
Yeah, this is a perfect transition to talk about, this particular petition that you're doing.
So, I mean, let's be real. I mean, your Halloween purists are going to celebrate Halloween on October 31st no matter what. They're going to party, they're going to dress up, they're going to trick or treat. They're going to do what they're going to do regardless of what happened. And there's this movement out there that's been around for a few years where the argument is had that in the schools that the day after Halloween, teachers have difficulty maintaining order in their classroom and keeping their students' interest in their classes. And they blame that on Halloween, of course, as part of that. The other stressful aspect of it, which, again, I don't think it's stressful, and I'm with Zach 100% on that, it's one of the least stressful holidays of the year, but you have this movement of these people that say, oh, no, it's too stressful for us to have to work our job, get out of our job, rush home, fix dinner for our kids, get them dressed, take them out trick-or-treating, get them back home, get them back in bed, get them ready for school the next day. And it's crazy. It's too much. And they blame Halloween on that. And that's what was kind of the foundation of this movement, to create a set day for Halloween on, the first Saturday in October, for example. And the problem with that is what was being proposed was a National Day of Trick-or-Treating, okay? They still want Halloween to happen on the 31st, but they feel that taking that pressure off of parents on Halloween falling on a weekday is a better idea than, they think that Saturday, because most people work jobs Monday through Friday, right?
Yep.
Sure. And Saturday they think, well, they're off. It'll be less stressful for those parents because they'll have the whole entire day to deal with everything. It's not going to be a matter of just having to cram everything into a few hours. And that petition actually got quite a bit of ground. And the last I checked, it had got 150,000 signatures. All right. The problem is Halloween is not a federally recognized holiday. So what does that mean? For those of you watching, so what that means is, since it's not a federally recognized holiday, our government, the President of the United States, cannot make that into law. They cannot make a National Day of Trick-or-Treating on Saturday because Halloween is not a federally recognized holiday. Mm-hmm. That's where I come from with the petition that I'm doing. I am attempting to This is the third time that I've started this petition. And the last I checked, I believe I had about 60 signatures on it. And it's been up for a while. And I had reached out to you guys here to say, hey, you know, could we do an episode? Let's talk about this petition. I need to get some ground on this. And I kind of have my own personal reasons for that as well. Christmas is a federally recognized holiday. Easter, federally recognized holiday. Thanksgiving, federally recognized holiday. But you have Halloween sitting here at the end of the month. It's not a federally recognized holiday. The banks don't close. The schools aren't out. And that's what makes this petition that I've been trying to get going a unique petition, because we need to make Halloween first a federally recognized holiday in order to pass, for our government to pass a national day of trick-or-treating law. Now, Halloween has very ancient Celtic origins, okay? And this is kind of a touchy point, what I'm about to talk to you about now. And I think this is one of the reasons why there has been very little traction on this petition that I'm trying to pass. Not only because people don't realize that, hey, if you want to create this day of trick-or-treating, you have to make it a federal holiday first and foremost. And I don't think people realize that. And I think that in this forum with you guys, that maybe we can get that out there and get people to start thinking that way. It's like, okay, but Halloween is a high holiday in the pagan community, okay? Halloween is actually Samhain. And one of my biggest reasons for doing this is just because of that. Because I feel that the Celtic community, the pagan community, the Wiccan community, all of those communities should be able to reap the benefits of having their holiday designated as a federal holiday, just like the Christians. They have their Easter, they have their Christmas. Those are federal holidays. Easter is always on a Sunday, so you really can't count that. But Christmas, on the other hand, falls on, you know, different days of the week, depending on, you know, what year it is. And that's where I've tried to get this petition going, to, you know, petition the White House and our government to make Halloween a federally recognized holiday, not only for our pagan, Celtic, Wiccan friends out there, but also for the Halloween industry. Sure. The all-encompassing Halloween industry, the haunted attractions, the Halloween merchandise, one of my favorite stores, Spirit Halloween, all of those types of stores. Because what will end up happening is if another movement has been trying to get, you know, the observance of Halloween moved to that Saturday as well. And the problem with that is that will shorten the haunt season for somebody who's operating a haunted attraction. And it's also going to shorten the shopping season, because instead of having, you know, a full Halloween season, it's going to be shortened if you move the date of Halloween to an earlier day. Because what's going to end up happening is, like all your retailers, as we all know, after the holidays, all the Halloween merchandise is discounted 50 to 75% off immediately as soon as it's over. And retailers will be forced to reduce those items sooner than they would if Halloween was actually a federally recognized holiday. And the other, I'm going on about this. I apologize for that, but I mean,
No, you're good. You're good. I love this. And I certainly have, you know, things to add to the conversation. You know, the one thing I was going to say was, is that you know, it isn't just the pagan community. Catholics got a skin in the game on this too, because of how it relates to All Souls Day and All Saints Day, because that's how, yep, you know, how the holiday was co-opted within the Catholic calendar. So I mean, they have their things. And also too is I'm, and we can discuss this even further, but I am actually very, very much in favor of the federal holiday of Halloween. I am not in favor of moving it to a rotating date or to doing the previous one. And I think that's just very simple. And I love that you brought up the commerce part and the capitalistic part, so I didn't have to, because I'm always bringing up the money. But but that being said, I think it not only shortens the season, but it takes away from the essence of Halloween and the specialness of it. And also, too, to be perfectly fair, Christmas don't have to change its date. Easter rotates, but Thanksgiving doesn't have to change its run up. But more importantly, Christmas does not have to change. 4th of July does not have to change. Veterans Day, which is great, doesn't have to change. St. Patrick's Day doesn't have to change. Like, those dates don't have to change. There should be no reason why, you know, St. Patrick is a bad example, but there's no reason in the world why Halloween, because that's not a federal holiday either. Even though there's a lot of Irish people that would love that. They would love the next day so they can recover from the hangover. But it takes away from the essence.
Absolutely. It takes away from
the specialness of what Halloween is.
So this is why I think people need to realize the importance of this, making Halloween a federally recognized holiday, because it needs to be protected. It needs to have the same benefits as all these other holidays that you just mentioned. It's necessary, and I think that, you know, we are, you know, at a time in this world now where that should be accepted. I think that people could be more accepting of that.
I agree. And also too, is it's so fundamentally American now. Like, you know, you go around the world, it's not really that big of a deal elsewhere. Like, Americans, Halloween is a big deal. It's a holiday that brings people together. It gets your kids out of the house, and it's something, you know. I think that for a kid, having the day of Halloween is just as important as believing in Santa Claus. That's how important I believe it is, because you are allowing kids to believe in, you know, magic and something bigger and this whole event, because that's also too what Halloween's about. Halloween's about all the dark shit and blood and gore and guts and shit that we all love. But it's also about magic. It's also about community. Also about, you know, getting outside of yourself and being somebody else for a bit by wearing a costume. And it's so a part of American culture that it absolutely deserves it. And I think the last thing I was going to say, and I want you to expand upon this, is, you said it, but I want to make sure it really fucking gets the drive to the point of people who are listening to this. People do not understand what it means to be a federal holiday. It's become so kind of blasé and everything else. Banks are closed. Post offices are closed. Government buildings are closed. I would say that about 50% of major corporations in America, probably more than that, recognize every federal holiday to have off for their employees. You have unions implement federal holidays, so all your tradespeople are off. This is a huge, massive deal to be recognized by the federal government as a holiday, because once you do that, the rest of the country follows suit. And now you've entered a different lexicon. And also, frankly, we spend $7 to $10 billion on the fucking holiday. We should just have it off. Like, you know, we've given enough back to the U.S. economy at that point for something that is about fucking ghosts and goblins and dressing up and going to haunted houses. Like, we've made our voices very clear with our wallets. Again, America, if I want to boil down what I said to the essence, which is Americans speak with their wallets. They always have and they always will. So I really wanted to drive into that fact of what it means to be recognized as a federal holiday. It's a huge fucking deal.
And I'm going to venture to say, I'm going to look into my Halloween crystal ball, if you will. I'm going to say, here in the near future, we are going to see the amount of money spent on Halloween is going to surpass the amount of money that is spent on Christmas. That's a bold statement, I know. But it's going to happen. I promise you, it's going to happen.
And honestly, too, is though, if they didn't count the gifts in Christmas, it would be the same as Halloween. It's only because of the gifts that Christmas goes ahead to that. Because I wonder
how they get those metrics. Because what if somebody's just buying something for themselves? Like, if I want to buy myself a new game in December, how are they? Are they counting that as a gift purchase?
I think that how they rank up the metrics was based on multiple different factors of surveys, commerce, influx of business. Usually trends follow. So if you have, you know, retail statistics coming in from Target, and what was your numbers in Halloween, and what were your numbers in Christmas, and what is that compared to the rest of the year? Also, they factor in what is being purchased. So if especially for Halloween, it's real fucking easy. What's the SKU code for the costumes? What's the SKU code for candy? What's the SKU code for fucking Halloween decorations? Yep. Same thing with Christmas. You know, obviously with gifts, it's more done by surveys and influx and raise of consumer products being purchased at that time. Yes, you may be mixed into it with just buying something for yourself, but there's definitely a larger raise. And I imagine what they do is they take what the yearly average is, and then they have the increase, and then they measure the increase based on the actual retail averages that throughout the entire year. I have no idea if this is actually how they do it, but if I was going to run it, that's exactly how I would do it.
Note to self, don't buy anything during December. Got it.
And this is another thing I point out with, if we could get Halloween recognized as a federal holiday, all of that stuff that we talked about earlier, the reasons for moving it to the first Saturday of October, you know, all the stress associated with it. Well, why not make Halloween a federal holiday? And guess what? We've eliminated all of those things because now it's a federal holiday. You have the day off now, just like you would on a Saturday, right?
110%. And if I was a fucking, if I was the chief marketing officer for Hershey's or Reese's, I would be all over this like fucking sliced bread. Because I know for a fact that if that's a great marketing tool, if, you know, we Reese's stand by the petition for the federally recognized holiday of Halloween, that's a bold fucking statement. And on top of it, you know that your sales are going to go through the roof. Your stock price is going to go through the roof. I would be all over that like fucking sliced bread. It's an easy thing to do because I know for a fact that people are more willing to invest in a holiday if they know that they have off. I know I do. I'm going to plan that day off. Just like Zach and I have, you know, I mean, we both take the day off on Halloween, you know, because we already plan it in advance. But some people don't have that privilege to do that. They don't have that amount of vacation time to do that. But I guarantee that all profitability of Halloween will go up exponentially if you do recognize it as a federal holiday.
Absolutely. And here's another interesting statistic, too, is when you look at driving accident statistics, Saturdays have always been the most fatal car crashes of any day of the week. 53% more road deaths occur on Saturdays than any other day of the week. And that kind of, you know, blend, you know, binds in with what you were talking about earlier about people driving their kids from house to house instead of them walking through the neighborhood.
Yeah, and staying the fuck on the sidewalk.
Exactly. So, you know, so you have that. So that's going to cause that statistic to go up.
Go ahead, Zach.
Oh, no, that whole driving your kid around on Halloween is just so baffling to me. But please continue.
I have a question though. What's the process of how this would work? Have you spoken with any attorneys or anybody that would know necessarily? I don't know if like constitutional law is not the right word, but maybe legislative law and knowing how to push bills through Congress. And you know, I took that eighth grade constitutional test like everybody else, but I don't fucking remember anything. And I took government, but I didn't learn anything about government except for the teacher bitching about how government's bad, but not explaining why government's bad. I mean, I learned on my own, but I have no idea what that process looks like for actually, hey, I have the petition, I got the signatures I need, but what's after that?
Basically, we have to first off on this petition, we have to reach 100 signatures at least right now. That's the first mile point, if you will, that will give it a little more exposure. And right now, like I said, last I checked, we had about 60 signatures on the petition. Once it reaches 100, it then becomes a featured petition and it starts getting pushed out there to where more people will see it. It becomes a featured petition. There is a certain threshold, I believe it's 100,000 signatures that you have to get. And then once you've achieved all those signatures, then you can submit that petition to the White House. And then it is up to the White House to review that petition and to decide, you know, whether to provide some feedback on it or, you know, implement it and try to pass it into law and going through that entire legislative process to make it a federal holiday.
Okay.
And then, that's the key, is we've got to get it to the White House. That's the first and foremost paramount thing that has to be done. It needs to be put on the White House's desk. And I believe, and I'm kind of walking a thin line of politics, but I feel that with our current political climate, that the time is ripe to make this happen if we can get this to the White House.
Fair enough. So when it comes to that, you know, do you know about the research about what happens after that? Does it have to be submitted over to Congress at that point to actually put it into legislation? I'm just curious about the process. I don't know how deep you've gotten.
If it gets put in front of the, you know, the president's desk and it's something that, you know, that he wants to, you know, run with, then yeah, he's going to have to go through those various legislative arms of government, you know, to make that happen. I mean, because he may even be able to sign it into law, but I believe that, you know, there has to be, you know, House support, there has to be Congress support as well for that to happen.
Sure. Hey, you know, you had mentioned that that you tried this a couple times before or this is your third attempt to do this and anything else. What was, you know, obviously what inspired the first time, and then, you know, what happened with the other, you know, with the other two not so successful attempts?
There just didn't seem to be an interest in it. People, and I don't know if maybe it just wasn't getting out there to people, or just people just really didn't care. My original reason for starting it was for, yeah, what we had discussed earlier about, you know, the pagan Wiccan community out there, that this is a high holy day for them. That was my original reason for starting it. That was my first attempt, and I think that kind of fell on dead ears because of that focus. Because I mean, let's face it, granted, the acceptance of, you know, our fellow pagan community people, are it's getting better, but when I first attempted this, you know, I feel that we were kind of running against that obstacle because of that pagan focus. True. And I think that's why people didn't, you know, they saw it as like, nah, we're not going to do this. The second time was because, again, if you don't succeed the first time, try again. That was my reason for doing it the second time.
Sure.
And it didn't do well the second time either. So I'm like, okay, I need to really look at this. Why is this not working? Why are people not interested in this? And then I started doing my research and, you know, looking at, you know, how much money Halloween brings in and, you know, how it affects our economy and things like that. And, you know, plus my involvement, you know, in the, you know, the haunt community and the haunt industry. I grew, you know, working at, as an actor, you know, at some haunted attractions. I, you know, it became even more of a dear of a cause for me. And so my third attempt, which is what we're doing right now, I've expanded the focus. I'm still keeping my original focus of it, but I'm trying to appeal to people's other perspectives on things. It's like, I want to basically show people the money, you know? It's like, okay, if you're not interested in that first aspect, okay, let's talk about something you're interested in, the money. And then the safety issues. And then, you know, when I found out about the movement to try to change the date of Halloween, to move it to, you know, the last Saturday of October. And I'm like, no, this is not the way to do this. This is wrong. It's not it. People, come on.
No, I totally agree.
There's so many benefits to make it a federal holiday. Make it a federal holiday. Eliminate that stress for the parents. Eliminate that stress for the teachers. Eliminate that traffic on the roads, you know, allow people to have that day off, just like, you know, any other holiday, you know, any other federally recognized holiday. The benefits to the haunt industry, the benefits to the Halloween industry, the benefits to the economy. So I think with this time, I have more of a broader picture, to show people this is why we need to make Halloween a federal holiday. I get that you know, y'all want to move it to Saturday because you want to have the day off, but make it a federal holiday and you don't have to worry about that now. That's taken away. That's off the table.
Exactly. I think that's kind of a backwards ideology, to be honest. It seems like taking an unnecessary extra step. Zach, I was curious about your perspective on what do you think that this would mean, you know, for, you know, people that, you know, obviously we have a deep connections, you know, a bunch of friends that are in massive horror fans in, you know, artistic ways, but we also have friends that are just regular folk and, you know, and they just do their thing and they, you know, live life and have regular jobs. I'm just curious, Zach, what was your perspective on what this would do for all the people that we know?
I think if anything, it would make Halloween a much more appreciated date / holiday. And then, you know, it's just, again, it's another day to have fun out of the year. Like, that's my one of the prime reasons I love the holiday so damn much. I don't got to worry about gifts. I don't got to worry about food. I don't got to worry about anything. I just got to worry about having a good time and enjoying the occasion. It's the one day out of the year horror as a it just in general is celebrated among many other things, because that's another thing. There's so many things that are celebrated on Halloween that I don't understand or know about. I just mainly celebrate the horror portion because that's what I love.
People were trying to get a second Halloween in the summer for a while. I know that was a big shtick that was being pushed a couple years ago, of having a second Halloween during the summertime, because a lot of people were like, hey, it's cold, it sucks, you know, during the time. Not for everybody, you know, I think there's a lot of people in the southern states that really enjoy the weather during that time. But, you know, it's a crapshoot in Chicago, man. It is an absolute crapshoot. Yeah. It could be really, really nice, or it could be real. I've seen it. It fucking snowed in 2019.
Yep, that was a blizzard in 2019. Yeah, it was annoying.
I remember very clearly. I you know what, and I think that the people that I can see it impacting the most is my sister and my brother-in-law and their two kids. I mean, you know, Zach, I mean, you can shake your head and back me up and everything else, how much better it would be for, you know, Lilypad and Maverick to have, you know, not have to deal with school that day.
Every kid, it would be so much easier not to have to deal with school that day, especially since there's some kids that refuse to let you even celebrate. Schools that refuse to let you celebrate. Like, I remember when I was in school, like, I think after, it was either like, I think it was maybe after first grade or before that, you weren't allowed to wear costumes. You weren't allowed to do anything anymore. They barely celebrated the holiday unless you got a cool teacher who was just like, no, don't worry, we're gonna do something, have some fun for the day, which, I mean, didn't happen every year. So it's just like, okay, cool, now we have to suffer through 8 hours of boring schoolwork when we all know the only thing anybody cares about or all these kids are thinking about is what they're going to be doing when they get out of school.
You know, and that's, and too, just to bring it back to what was said a little bit earlier is, I mean, that's, you know what, sometimes we just got to call things what they are. You just got to call fucking reality. And it's exactly that. Kids are not going to be fucking thinking about what's going on in school. They're just not. They're not going to be focused on what's going on October 31st in Halloween, because the only thing they're thinking about is the moment that bell rings and they're able to leave. They're not thinking about fucking school. I think that we got enough problems with our educational system right now. This is just one more thing we can just take off the fucking list of having all the students focus, be pushed away from the classroom and, you know, be put on the street in Halloween, because that's what they're doing anyway. I hate to break it to burst everybody's fucking bubble, but no kid, unless they didn't grow up with Halloween, no kid is thinking about fucking school on October 31st. They're not thinking about school at all. They're not thinking about learning at all. They are thinking about what the fuck they're going to do when they leave. Some of them even have their costumes in their backpacks. So they know that the moment they hit the door at school, you know, at home, they're changing and they're out the door.
Well, here's another point, that I want to bring up, with you mentioning that, is over the, past few years, we've seen schools that like to do, the little Halloween festival, for the students, when it's on a school day and everything like that. And oh my goodness, more recently, parents and stuff started becoming unhinged about this because they didn't feel that the school needed to be holding a Halloween event in the school. And a lot of schools caught a lot of flack behind that. And now schools are afraid to do a Halloween, festival on the day of Halloween at the school because of the religious implications and because of the pushback that they've had to it. So why not just eliminate that and let's just make it a federal holiday, and then you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about the school doing that to try to keep, the students entertained, if you will. It's not a school's job to keep your child entertained. It's a school's job to educate your child. So take that off the table and make Halloween a federal holiday.
Exactly. And also too, and who in today's age is fucking doing that? Like, that's me. I know there was a big push back in the 90s. That's the devil's holiday, which is not true. It's not actually. It's a celebration leading into All Souls Day and all, from the Catholic perspective, All Souls Day and All Saints Day to celebrate the people who are lost. And no longer with us. It's a celebration of the dead, actually. It's not a celebration of Satan. It's a celebration of the dead. So I don't give a shit what, evangelicals have to say. And I grew up Catholic, and they got a big thing with that. And I remember there was one thing I brought up in a Halloween podcast that we did a while back where I must have been, when you're younger and you hear parents have conversations that you probably shouldn't have heard them because they're very adult conversations, but you still remember them. I remember I was out trick-or-treating, and I was the first one to come back after I'd went to one house. And I heard my dad talking to my aunt, and it was about the previous house that we had been, and the lights were shut off, and they had a sign on the door that says, "We don't celebrate Halloween, for our, blah, 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 blah." I remember my dad's an Italian guy, so they're very animated. He's like, "What the fuck's wrong with these people?" And anything else? They can't go to a fucking dollar store and go get some candy? This is for the kids. It's a kid holiday. What are you going to go fucking shit on kids? Hey, Marco, what's up? He didn't realize that I had overheard this conversation that was clearly a very adult conversation. But, it was so funny to be hearing about it back then and how big it was that it was so, there was such an anti-movement towards it. Now, this, you got nothing, like the sand, all those kids that grew up in those households that were very anti-Halloween. They're all grown up. And guess what they're doing? They're celebrating Halloween with their kids. They so you got the opposite result of what you were intending in the first place by being so anti, which is, you know, pretty common among a lot of conversations. You know, a lot of people are like, you know, the harder that you hold on to something, the more likely it is to slip away. But in today's age, this is a stupid argument. It's a ridiculous argument to even be having. You know, it's the kids' holiday. The kids go have fun, fucking fun. Let them be off of school, man, because they're not focusing on school anyway. So let them be off of school. Let them go have fun. Remove the stick from your ass and just call it a fucking day.
And that's just another aspect of this too. And I hate to use this cliche, but it's one of the biggest cliches in today's world is equality. And making Halloween a federally recognized holiday is going to level the playing fields for equality for those who actually celebrate this holiday as a high holy day for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not as familiar. Is Day of the Dead celebrated by the Mexicans the same day, or is that a different day?
I think it's the day before or after, but I'm not 100% sure on that one. I know it's in the very similar ballpark. At least I believe
it is. Because it's also a very important holiday for them. It's very religious. It's a celebration of the dead, and there's a lot of things that go into that as well. So, I mean, you know, if you want to, and I would even go that route. If we're going to boil things down into one day, fuck it. Let's just, you know, let's add that into the mix as well. We have a large Mexican population in the United States, especially in, you know, the southern states like Texas and everything else. I believe you mentioned that you're from Texas right now. You currently live in. So, I mean, that's a massive Mexican population that celebrate the holiday. We're from Chicago, massive Mexican population here. So, I mean, that's another thing that we can add into the mix of adding that into one central holiday, same way that we did with President's Day versus just doing an individual holiday for Lincoln and for George Washington. Same thing, add it into the mix. You know, we have American culture. We have the Day of the Dead. We have Catholicism skin in the game with it. We have a pagan high holiday. And then you have, you know, all these things in the mix that gives it every reason to be a federal holiday. You have a lot of different things in the mix here, and a lot of different cultures and a lot of different religions saying essentially the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I absolutely love it. I'm so glad that we were able to have you on. I was going to go ahead every end of every podcast. I wrap it up with a question of the podcast. Which is, you know, our way of kind of tying it with a neat bow. I think this is so appropriate. Go ahead.
This is, again, as I mentioned earlier, this is the third time that we've done this petition, and I'm really hoping that third time makes the charm.
I am absolutely hoping. And actually, when we give your opportunity to plug, I want you to tell everyone where they can find this and they can sign up for this petition. So as a question of the podcast, what is your most treasured Halloween memory? Whether it be from childhood, teenage years, what's something that really exemplifies, you know, Halloween, you know, for you as a person and why it's become so important. And as per tradition, we do let guests go first, but you do have the option to pass. But guess what? It sounds like you already got an answer to the question, so we're going to go right to you.
It's definitely my childhood memories of going to haunted attractions with my dad. Those were, you know, my dad passed away a few years ago. So there is quite a fondness for me because of those memories that I shared with my dad. My dad, you know, helped plant and fertilize that seed, you know, to bloom into this big Halloween freak that I've turned into. And my realistic view of things and trying to look at the whole picture of things. And, you know, those are just some of the greatest memories. I mean, it was when life was simple and life was pleasant and life was easy. And that was when I was going out trick-or-treating, you know, with going out trick-or-treating with my friends, going through the neighborhoods and, Yeah, and going to these haunted attractions with my dad. I mean, just some of the greatest memories that I've ever had.
Zach.
I would say it was the year that Episode One came out for Star Wars, because I remember that year I of course did Darth Maul. There was no way in hell I wasn't doing Darth Maul. My buddy, I can't remember if he did Obi-Wan or Qui-Gon, but when we went trick-or-treating, every time we saw other kids who did like other Star Wars characters, we would just break out into lightsaber fights in the middle of the street, and it was one of the most entertaining times of my life. It didn't matter. The only thing we were missing was the technology, because if we had speakers back then like we do now, somebody would have been playing Duel of the Fates anytime our lightsabers ignited. I can guarantee that right now. But that was one of the best Halloweens I've ever had. If I had to say, as an adult, definitely dressing up as Jason, going to your place and scaring the hell out of all the kids in the neighborhood. That was a good year.
I love it. I love it. I think for me, I think, and Zach's been a part of these celebrations. You know, for me, it's being at my dad's house, and that kind of started in the the early 2000s, where he would do the pizza and the a pizza for everybody, and then do beer and wine for the adults and candy for the kids. And my fiance, being the dog lover that she is, started giving treats to the dogs, that were coming around the neighborhood. And the and I can't remember, those years tend to blend together, but I've had so many of my friends, of on the Saturdays that we were there, going, and one year we went out to the bar, and there were five Ace Ventura Pet Detectives at the same bar. We had a couple years where we had a bunch of people over, and I mean, I think one year in particular, the I don't remember what year it was, but we my girlfriend's mom was very, very ill during some of these times, and then one year had since passed away. And and Halloween came, and I think it was just a massive release for her to dress, because we've bonded over Halloween. We love Halloween. I mean, we've been, steampunk people. We've been, the couple from Beetlejuice, the Geena Davis and Alec Baldwin's characters. We've been, 80s 80s characters with the 80s ski suits on, the jumpsuits. I had a mullet, and then she had a Madonna wig. And I remember one year in particular where Time Warp by Rocky Horror Picture Show came on, and I didn't and I didn't even think about it. I know that that's Sarah's favorite, one of her favorite movies of all time, and I ran into the house to go tell her, it was on, and then we sang it together. And I think that was also the same time that I think my sister told me, almost a year later, she's like, "That's the moment that I knew that you were going to marry her." Because I've never seen you do that for anybody else, with such enthusiasm and excitement to go and run and grab somebody to pull them out. And those parties came in a lot of hard times for all of us, as friends. And I think that we all just reveled in having the ability to celebrate. And unfortunately, the better times were the ones on weekends where we could, don't have to worry about that, going back to work or whatever. But hanging around a bonfire and just chatting about our lives and making plans and seeing all the crazy costumes that came up and all the kids that had such enthusiasm, and Zach, being in a costume, and my last fondest memory, and I'll remember it forever, and I think that my niece will remember it forever. He came in this really fucking awesome costume that he made, where he was essentially a predator hunter that hunted down slasher stars. But yeah, he had like the
Nice.
Jason mask, they had the Jason mask and the Freddy mask, and my niece Lily, oh, there it is right there. My niece Lily was so fascinated by him, and she decided that she was going to be his secretary, his receptionist, and she was going to run the line of the people that were coming up to to see him and everything else, and then take pictures. And she would run an interference. They'd be like, "Excuse me, can we take pictures?" And she would step right in the middle of them and say, "Hold on, I'll ask," and then turn him, and then Zach would shake his head, be like, "Yep, they may have come." And it's like, "All right, you're okay to come," and then run the whole line and run interference and be. She was this fucking handler for an afternoon.
She's like 8 years old.
No, dude, she's younger than it. She was like 5 or 6 at that time.
Oh my god, doing
that and fucking just running interference, and we were just dying. That was the same year that a guy pulled up in a DeLorean and came out dressed as Marty McFly. Batman came in a golf cart and raced Mario and Luigi down the street because they were playing. They were dressed up as Mario Kart, my neighbor. So like, you know, it just. All this amazing stuff that has happened on Halloween has permeated in my mind about how important this holiday is. It was just a stress-free time for all of my friends to come together and then just debrief from the world and just let go. And nothing's that serious, nothing that hard, and nothing is, you know, it's nothing's too crazy. I think that's what the most important thing of memory of Halloween I have and what's the most important thing about Halloween to me. So, sir,
absolutely a day to get away and just kind of, you know, put the world behind and just have fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, sir, this is your opportunity. I know your camera's off, but this is your opportunity to look directly in the camera if you can, and tell the good people where they can find you on all your social medias and where the hell they can sign this petition to get Halloween recognized as a national holiday. It, you know, would be amazing.
Okay, I'm sending you. Are you still hearing me?
Yep. Yeah, I can, and I can see it. It's being shared right now.
Perfect.
The change.org. Right there below, and then obviously too is we'll go ahead and we'll add this, you know, to the description below.
Make are you Halloween able to see yep. Are you able to see where I'm screening?
Yep, absolutely.
Where I'm scrolling?
Yep.
All I right, see perfect. Like I said, it's the first time I've used Zoom, so.
Nah, you're good, man.
All right. So anyway, this is it right here. It's on the change.org website. As you can see, we've had 65 signatures at 100 signatures. The petition is more likely to be featured in recommendations. So. Let's get this on recommendation so people can actually see it. There's some of the I'm just giving you a kind of there's a brief summary. You know, there's a description of it, which, you know, we've touched on all those points. Yeah, that's the place to go. So if you want to see a more short and abbreviated link, you could find me on Twitter as Halloween Master. That's my Twitter account. And that's probably the best place to find the link.
you can also find them on Slasher as well under.
Yep. The link is also linked on my profile in Slasher, I believe.
And then how can they find you on Slasher?
Here we go. It is. Yeah. One Halloween Master.
Okay.
The number there. One. So one Halloween Master. That's my Slasher profile.
Awesome. 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 That's fantastic. So, yeah, we'll definitely link all this great material below the, which is fantastic. Steve, thank you so much for being on the podcast, man. We really, really appreciate it. It was a really fun conversation.
Indeed.
So very, very happy. Thank you so much, man.
Absolutely. Maybe we can do some more. Cause I'm going to tell you what, if you need somebody to do some more podcasts with, just talking about Halloween horror, the haunted, you know, haunted attractions, you know, being a haunt actor. Hit me up, man. I'll be happy to be on. I love talking to you guys.
Copy that.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So I'll close out this podcast. Thank you so much for checking out this episode of the Nightmares Podcast. You can find this where all podcasts are available on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Music, and YouTube. If you are watching this on YouTube, if you could be so awesome to stab that like button, smash that subscribe, and click that little tiny bell to be notified every time we drop amazing content right here on MHN. And you can check us out of all of our social medias, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and
Slasher.
That is the application thing for all things horror. Guys, please check out all of Steve's stuff on Slasher and on Twitter. Let's get this fucking petition signed. I really strongly believe in this, and I think it's going to be great. We're going to post it to all of our social medias as well. Let's get the word out. Let's get these fucking signatures signed, and then let's get to the 100,000, 150,000 signatures, and let's get those fucking signed. Let's get this on dear old Biden's desk and see if we can actually get this fucker signed. So thank you so much, and we'll see you next time on the Nightmares Podcast.
Do it today.
Do it today. Bye, guys.